Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. After a series of high-profile losses at the Supreme Court, conservatives celebrated yesterday when the nation's highest court ruled against the Environmental Protection Agency's ability to regulate mercury and other toxic emissions from coal-fired plants, claiming that the EPA had not done a cost-benefit analysis of the standards it was expecting companies to meet. Justice Antonin Scalia claimed that it is not rational, quote, never mind appropriate to impose billions of dollars in economic costs in return for a few dollars in health or environmental benefits, end of quote. The 20 states that sued the EPA in conjunction with a number of fossil fuel companies claimed that the government agency was imposing billions of dollars in costs to achieve a few million in benefits. The ruling is not the end of the road, however. The EPA may be able to continue regulating toxic pollutants under the Clean Air Act once it conducts cost-benefit analyses. President Obama, stymied by congressional gridlock on climate change legislation, has attempted to use the authority of the EPA as a tool to curb greenhouse gas emissions to cement his environmental legacy. It should be noted, however, that the president has also championed such dirty fuels as fracking and tar sands, and endorsed mythical products like clean coal. My guest is Dar Jamail. He's a Truth Out staff reporter. He's the author of The Will to Resist, Soldiers Who Refuse to Fight in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as Beyond the Green Zone, Dispatches from an Unembedded Journalist in Occupied Iraq. He's won the Martha Gellhorn Award for Investigative Journalism, among other awards. Welcome back to the program, Dar.
Thanks, Sonali. Good to be with you again.
Now, let's clarify what just happened. There are two sections of the Clean Air Act that the EPA is hoping to regulate coal plants under. One is mercury emissions and the other is carbon emissions. Both target coal plants. And this ruling that happened yesterday is about mercury emissions and other toxic substances. There is a lawsuit against the EPA's regulation of carbon emissions, too, but that's going to come later. How do you understand this specific ruling?
I think it's very, very clear, and just to really cut to the bottom line, and I use the word bottom line intentionally, and Scalia's comments that you just mentioned really, I think, offer the perfect summary of the whole situation, where he literally said it is not worth spending billions of dollars to protect humans and the environment. That it's just that simple. It's another case, and this is where this particular court case and this victory for the coal industry and the fossil fuel industry really summarizes what's happening to the whole planet, where the financial bottom line trumps literally the health of the ecosystem and the atmosphere upon which we all rely to stay alive. And that's this case, I think, really illustrates that extremely clearly, that it's not worth doing the right thing, spending some extra money to kick in some environmental regulations. And let's be very clear, this isn't a do-gooder Obama, as you just mentioned, or a do-gooder EPA coming in really trying to do the right thing. This is putting a Band-Aid on a situation that needs open-heart surgery. You know, the reality is we should not be burning any more fossil fuels whatsoever. We need to be transitioning at warp speed away from all fossil fuel generation and burning and production and into renewables on a national and global scale, just to mitigate the disaster that's already upon us, not to change it, not to stop it, but just to hopefully take maybe a little bit of the edge off. And instead, it's, you know, pedal to the metal, full speed off the cliff. We are going to, you know, once again, profits trump everything, you know, human health, health of the environment, whatever. When it comes down to anything that's going to affect the bottom line of the fossil fuel industry, we're going to see even the Supreme Court stepping up to bat for them.
Now, Dar, if the EPA did do a cost-benefit analysis and actually attached a dollar amount to the benefits of taking coal companies offline, I don't know how one really, I mean, there are ways to put dollar amounts on these things. Can it come back to properly regulate mercury? The EPA maintained that it didn't have to do an analysis as part of the Clean Air Act, but the Supreme Court said it did. So is there an opening here for the EPA?
Well, if there was going to be a cost-benefit analysis of that, I mean, I think the bottom drops out of that logic, and it is sound logic, but the bottom drops out rapidly because as we see time and time again, that next quarter's profit earnings statement trumps any long-term planning, looking down the road at consequences, despite the fact that there's actually a large number of scientifically vetted peer-reviewed reports showing This is what climate change is going to cost, and it's literally in the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. But, you know, that's not next quarter's profit earnings statement. And so that's going to be trumped by what do we need to do right now to earn as much money as quickly as possible. And that, again, is symptomatic of what's happening to the entire planet, where, you know, we're not going to, you know, take the steps that are going to require some of these massive industries to make a bit less money and start transitioning into something that's better for the planet, because that would basically negatively impact next quarter's profit statement.
Now, the court has taken up the mercury emissions regulation separately from the carbon emissions regulation, and the EPA has attempted to look at carbon dioxide itself, a green, you know, the most important greenhouse gas, as a pollutant under the Clean Air Act, which, you know, of course, to those who understand climate change is happening and its impact, sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing to do. But why has the court chosen to separate these two, and what impact does the ruling on mercury emissions and other toxic emissions have on a future ruling on carbon emissions being regulated by the EPA?
That's a really good point. I mean, I've definitely seen that there's, you know, some folks are believing, well, this actually does set the stage that there is going to be a better chance now for some rulings in favor of some regulation, CO2 regulations coming down the path. But also, I've also, you know, it's clear that this ruling yesterday sets a very clear precedent that it is going to be, I think, hard to overcome the inertia, where you've got the Supreme, you know, an industry and the EPA went to battle. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and industry won. And that's going to be a very difficult precedent to overcome, even regards to CO2, where, as you just said, the writing's completely on the wall. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about the impact of CO2 on the planet, what's happening, how much worse it's getting, how quickly. And this precedent now set, it's, I think, going to be a very, very steep uphill battle for the EPA or any other regulating, so-called theoretically regulating agency, to come back and try to win another big case like this.
Now, Peabody Energy, the largest coal company in the United States, was among those that sued the EPA. And in the wake of the Supreme Court ruling, their stocks soared. You know, how well are these energy companies doing? Because they're claiming that the costs of cleaning up this these coal companies, the coal plants, is just too onerous. I mean, they can't spare a few billion dollars to stop polluting our air. Isn't the technology widely available, even if it might cost some?
Well, again, in just to look at it, I think pragmatically, from their perspective, it's all about maximizing profit in the short term, and planning in the future of how to continue to do that even more. That's simply where they're coming from. So these
You're
people...
You're saying it's a mistake for me to expect the Peabody to actually care about human lives.
I do. It's just literally not in the DNA of the corporate mindset to put people, the environment, or the entire planet ahead of profit. It's not going to happen, and it's never going to happen by any of these big industries. And I haven't seen any indicator from any of the major fossil fuel companies or power production companies that indicates that they might even be willing to do that at some point. I just haven't seen it happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, based on the attempt by the EPA to regulate mercury emissions, a number of coal plants in the U.S. were shuttered, and I understand that many of them will remain shuttered despite this ruling. If so, does it mean that the EPA's move was a good one, even if it sort of failed at the Supreme Court?
Well, I think it's good in along the lines of what you just said, that at least some of these older plants that are the grosser emitters of the fleet have been retired and won't be reopened. And it's good in that it brings the spotlight onto the egregious nature of how fossil fuel giants and the coal industry and certain utility industries are literally running the country, even the Supreme Court. And I think it's important that people get to see that, where, you know, for this brief moment, a spotlight is shown on how dysfunctional the system is, how intensely the stack is decked against people and or agencies that are really trying to do the right thing at this point in the crisis.
Now, let's turn to other environmental news. Recently, a study made huge waves when it determined definitively that we are entering the sixth great mass extinction on the planet. A scientist at the Autonomous University of Mexico found that the average rate of vertebrate species lost over the last century is over 100 times greater than the normal or or background rate of extinction. And this has been something suspected for a while. You wrote about it last year. How serious is this study? And there is, of course, a direct link to climate change, right?
Absolutely. And the study is very, very clear about the direct link to climate change. And I think the title of the study, or just the simple fact that we have a peer-reviewed scientific paper now confirming what a lot of folks have already known. People have been talking about this and reporting on it for some time. Elizabeth Colbert wrote a fantastic book called The Sixth Great Mass Extinction. I mean, it's clear that we've been in it for a long time. And basically now we've got, these scientific papers that take a long time to generate and get peer-reviewed and published. Now we've actually got one confirming it. And it's, I don't know how much more dire news could people get about how far along we are regarding human-caused climate disruption. We are literally well into the sixth great mass extinction. Another thing that this paper points out is that the extinction rates, the background rates now, actually exceed those of the Permian mass extinction, which is one of the previous mass extinction events known as the Great Dying, which killed off over 90% of all life on the entire planet. And so we're at a pace far ahead of that. And if that doesn't give people pause and have people really think and look and accept the seriousness of the situation we're in, and then from that context, look back at what Judge Scalia, the coal industry, fossil fuel industries, how they're just thumbing the nose and charging forward at profits. It really illustrates the complete insanity of the situation that we're in, because the reality is this scientific report, numerous others that are coming out every month, NASA data showing 2015 is already on track, well on track to become the hottest year in history for the globe again. This is happening every year. Temperature records being broke all across the country, all across the world. Other things like Sao Paulo on the brink, literally a mega city of over 20 million people on the brink of running completely out of water by August. Meanwhile, we're looking at the entire city of Manila. There's talk of having to try to move the entire city of Manila in the Philippines because of rising seas. I mean, the signs are abundant all around us and growing by the day.
And terrible heat waves in India and Pakistan earlier this year. In India, thousands of people killed. In Pakistan, almost 1,000 said to be killed. I mean, there we should be looking when we think about the idea of the sixth great mass extinction, at the extinction of the human species.
Well, that's
one
exactly
of the species that, yeah.
That's exactly right, Sonali, and this report did not pull any punches and actually mentioned that we are on the front end of this extinction event. These events do take a lot of time, although this one that we're in, that we have set off ourselves, will probably be one of the fastest, if not the fastest, in even geologic history of the planet. And they mentioned in the report that humans are going to be on the front wave of the first wave of species, that we will most likely be included in the first wave of species that go extinct.
Well, finally, President Obama, in the last 2 years of his presidency, is worried about his legacy. And to the extent that the rest of us should worry about it, what is the, at this point, after this ruling by the Supreme Court, what attempt do you think will he and can he make to put forward some kind of environmental legacy? Because in that desire for a legacy may lie some hope to curb climate change.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, President Obama is no environmentalist. This recent court ruling, and again, let's make it clear, this wasn't even an attempt by the EPA to really do the right thing with coal-fired power plants. This was, again, an attempt of them to put a Band-Aid on something that needs to basically have open-heart surgery or just left to die and go away completely. And Obama's legacy, I mean, we have to keep in mind the fact that he's opened up massive amounts of the Atlantic seaboard to fracking, offshore fracking, same in the Gulf of Mexico. Drilling and fracking across the country has gone crazy under President Obama's reign. Look at what's happening with Shell bringing, literally as we speak, their drill rigs are being towed up to the Chukchi Sea to begin oil drilling up in the Arctic. They're wargaming the Navy up in the Gulf of Alaska in preparations for the melting sea ice in the summer up in the Arctic ice pack to go away so that there can be drilling happening up there. And so it's all of these things have to be taken into account when we talk about Obama and any kind of environmental legacy. I don't really see any really truly positive, let alone revolutionary moves that should be being made at this point in time in the history of the planet and the history of the species. And instead, it's kind of more half measures, more, I think, political gestures to kind of maybe set up whoever the next Democratic presidential candidate's going to be to try to bring more people into the big tent of the Democratic Party. And I think that's any moves he makes at that at this point in the game for him, I think that's the perspective they should be viewed from.
Dar, where's the best place for people to read your writings?
Truthout.org.
And we will post a link to that at our website, Uprising with Sonali, later today, truthout.org. And Dar also wrote a piece on this latest ruling by the Supreme Court on the EPA. And we'll certainly follow up on what the Supreme Court might be doing on the EPA's attempt to regulate carbon emissions directly. Dar, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest, Dar Jamail, is a Truthout staff reporter who's won numerous awards for his work. And before we end the program today, exactly a week from today, Max Blumenthal will be speaking in Southern California at the First Congregational Church of Los Angeles as part of an event for Uprising. I'll be interviewing him on stage, and we would love to see you there. Tickets are available at kpfk.org. They are extremely limited, and poet Cholet Wolpe will be there as well. Again, that's Tuesday, July 7th at 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church in downtown LA. Tickets available at kpfk.org. That's for our Southern California audience.